Okay, this hour we're going to continue talking with Frosty Wooldridge, America on the Brink. We're going to take your calls as well. I'm getting flooded with emails. Some people saying we can take care of everyone that crosses the border. I'm not so sure we can, but we'll talk more with Frosty about this when we come back on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. Frosty Wooldridge with us. We'll get to your calls as well. It's got to be probably one of the worst humanitarian decisions somebody's got to make.
Well, without a doubt, we are in a corner right now. And whatever happens with this latest onslaught, we have to make some decisions. And here is a quote by someone you might know that's, I think he is the professor at the Stanford University or one of the universities right there in the Los Angeles area. His name is Dr. Otis Graham. I've met him. He wrote a book called Unguarded Gates. And he said, and I quote, "Most Western elites continue urging the wealthy West not to stem the migrant tide that adds 80 million net gain annually to the planet, but to absorb our global brothers and sisters until their horrid ordeal has been endured and shared by all."
Jeez.
10 billion humans packed onto an ecologically devastated planet, unquote. That just about says it all.
He was being pretty blunt there, wasn't he?
Well, he sure is. You know, and I have several others. I worked with a Dr. Albert Bartlett at the University of Colorado for 30 years. He just passed away last fall. And he said, and I'm quoting again, "Unlimited population growth cannot be sustained. You cannot sustain growth in the rates of consumption of resources. No species can overrun the carrying capacity of a finite landmass. This law cannot be repealed, and it is not negotiable," unquote. You know, I've worked with some top people, PhDs, brilliant, Tainter. Dr. Jack Elpert is brilliant in Kansas City. Certainly a Nobel laureate, Dr. Henry Kendall said, and I'm just a quick quote, "If we don't halt population growth with justice and compassion, it will be done for us by nature, brutally and without pity, and will leave a ravaged world," unquote. So we've got the minds, we've got the intelligence, we've got the understanding of what we face. What we need are leaders or visionaries, or what you might call them, outliers, those who understand. Galileo was an outlier. I'm an outlier on a bicycle. I've seen what's coming. I've seen China. I've been from Hong Kong to Beijing. It's just a human pileup. They have 200-mile-long traffic jams now. Their air in China is unbreathable. 1,000 children die every day in India because they are drinking water that's so loaded with waterborne diseases like diarrhea and dysentery and so forth, and they can't stop it. They can't solve it because India grows by 11 million net gain every single year. And they're on course right now to overtake China in the next 36 years by hitting somewhere around 1.6 billion, and China will hit around 1.55 billion. So what we're seeing, George, is this extraordinary human pileup. And of course, all the Chinese would love to move to Vancouver, you know, Canada, and fill up all of Canada. Well, of course, all of these people in India would love to come to America to fill up all of this supposedly sure. empty space.
I mean, you can't blame them. If I lived there, I'd want to come here.
That's exactly right. And so what I am trying to do in my life's work is to create a discussion and create a debate. I've been trying to get on 60 Minutes as a 21st century bicycling Galileo. I've been trying to get on Charlie Rose because he won't touch this subject. I've tried to get on Robert Siegel at NPR, Terry Gross. I've tried to get on Leanne Hansen. I've tried to get in front of Matt Lauer and certainly of Diane Sawyer. But these people are controlling the spigot of news and information, and they will not allow anyone who brings this population immigration issue to the forefront with the facts and the figures and the realities that we face, like I do.
It's too hot a potato, Frosty. They
correct.
Won't touch
it's
it.
Too hot. They won't touch it. But the reality is, if we don't do something about it now, it is going to touch us whether we like it or not. in very negative ways in the coming decades. And so we need to address it. And that's why it's really an honor and a privilege. My emails are flooding in so fast right now. I mean, the people are thanking me for so much common sense. I'll have to send you some of these because they're very powerful.
We're going to go to the calls now, Frosty, but okay. I want to make it absolutely certain that people understand that you care about people. You're not here saying, you know what, immigrants, you can't come here. I want you simply to die. I mean, you'd be one of the first to develop a program where we could help them in their country.
Yes, thank you. I would absolutely, if I had the kind of power that's in Congress right now, I would absolutely go out there and help people in their own countries with water, with food growing, and with, again, international birth control. You absolutely, every civilization at some point is going to have to come to terms with birth control. And that would be one of the things that I would really promote around the world and educate women to be able to choose the number of children they want so that they can live viable lives. Yes, okay. Thank you very much.
Let us go to the phones. If anybody's working with the Border Patrol, you want to check in with us anonymously, go ahead and do that as well. Let's go to Nick in Davison, Michigan to get things started on the wild card line. Hey, Nick, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Oh, wow. So we have the southern border being invaded, flooded by illegal aliens. George, you know from many of your premier guests regarding the planned implosion of this economy here, okay? Mm-hmm. I've been in Michigan all my life. I watched during the Flint area, General Motors, this town is like 90% reduced from what it used to be.
Yeah, it's decimated.
The AC Delco spark plug where my dad was a lifer, it's gone.
Yeah.
There's nothing there.
It's gone. And it was there because of General Motors, and when that started going down the tubes, look what happened to Flint, Michigan.
And George, when they were bailed out, this isn't why I called, but when they were the people from AC Delco who took the bailout money from, and by the way, remember Congressman Brad Sherman, a very noble, honorable congressman from California, stated, and you know your colleague Jerry Doyle used to broadcast out of Las Vegas about a year ago, kept repeating over and over Brad Sherman's statement that Paulson, the Treasury Secretary, who relinquished $40 million as Goldman Sachs chairman for $180K as Treasury Secretary, told he and his colleagues that if they failed to bail out Wall Street in September 08, there would be riots, economic meltdown, martial law. Okay, now who, George, and who, Frosty, who would have the authority to direct Paulson to threaten us by threatening our duly elected public servants with, in those three matters, including martial law? They're flooding the country, George and Frosty, because the derivatives, credit default swaps, et cetera, which are all fraudulent Wall Street gambling activities, they don't want that to be the reason for the monetary economic implosion here. They want to blame it on, and I agree with Frosty, I don't want them here. You know, I mean, John Kennedy had a plan to create economic diversity in foreign countries that we could honorably trade with. And if it's a water problem, look at what Gaddafi did. If you don't have an underground aquifer, the eighth wonder of the world, okay, what about desalination plants? The technologies exist. They've just all been either ignored, conspiracy of silence, or suppressed. So I blame the Wall Street bankster gangsters for all this corruption, all these problems, George. Who stands to gain? Follow the money trail. Who's going to gain from all this?
They are all part of it. Frosty, get your quick reaction to that, and we'll go on to some other calls. Hey, by the way, thank you, Nick. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just feel his frustration. I actually wrote a piece called The Tragedy of Detroit, because I worked in Detroit from 77 right through 91 on my summer job as a math science teacher.
Where were you? Because I was born in Detroit, and I left there in 78.
Yeah, well, then I worked for Corrigan Moving Systems out of Dearborn, and I ran an 18-wheeler for Paul Corrigan and David Corrigan. They're still friends of mine. Tim Costello was my boss, and he was the dispatcher, and I did that from 77 right through 91. And I actually wrote a story called The Tragedy of Detroit. It has pictures to it, and the piece itself has become quite famous because it showed why, from an insider view rather than a Time magazine view, it showed why Detroit lost 1 million people. And in fact, it used to have 1.85 million residents of Detroit. It's now down to 648,000. And that piece has become, I could say, quite famous because I told it like it is from the inside.
Yeah, well, you always do. Now, you take your brunt. I mean, you get your share of people who who come after you. And
and the thing is, as long as I maintain my integrity, and I can go to bed every night, I maintain my integrity, and my integrity is the best for all people. And my integrity is the best for the United States of America and for all my fellow citizens, and that we are all part of the family of man or humanity, and that we're all in this together. And I hope that people understand that and appreciate that, because we are facing a tremendous challenge here in the 21st century, and either we solve it, or again, as Otis Graham said, Mother Nature's going to solve it for us. And I'd rather have us solve it rather than have a Mother Nature.
Professor, we sponsor a lot of kids with Children International, and all these kids are overseas or in South America. And I got an email one day from someone saying, why don't you support American kids? Why do you have to support these other kids in these other countries? And I sent them back a nice little polite email. I said, didn't know a soul lived in a country. And by that I meant, you know, these are human beings. It doesn't matter where they are. So, you know, your plan is absolutely a necessity in terms of taking care of these people somehow without them flooding our gates, because then we're going to create a problem here too.
That's exactly correct. You know, and just like you, and we're similar ages, I'm 67.
You're older than me, Frosty.
I'm a little older, a little wiser. Who knows?
Well, I don't know about that, but you're a little older.
I'd say we both have similar wisdom coming out of Michigan, and common sense, and farm common sense, and so forth. But I have been a volunteer ski instructor for 23 years with the National Sports Center for the Disabled in Winter Park, Colorado. I've cleaned rivers. I've done features on people who are doing something good in the world. I just did a feature on Chad Pragreke. He is cleaning up the Mississippi River. He's engaged 60,000 volunteers. He's picked up millions of pounds of trash and garbage and filth. So it's true that we can take action on an individual level and a collective level. And again, capsweb.org and certainly numbersusa.org and fairfairus.org. These are the organizations that are trying to bring some sense to what we're facing and give collective power to all of Americans who want to change course. Because, if we remain on the same course we're headed, we will manifest another 138 million people, and we will degrade our country, our middle class, our environment, our quality of life, and our standard of living to such a degree that we will enter literally the consequences of third world countries now operating at the misery level for most of their citizens.
West of the Rockies, Jack is in San Diego. Jack, welcome to the program.
Well, you know, this is the illegal immigration is definitely the oldest, most sustained subject on talk radio. I can remember this as a topic of discussion 30 years ago with a talk show host by the name of George Putnam.
Yeah.
And, you know, we have proven for 60 years in Korea, we have protected that border successfully. It can be done. And where I want to go tonight is The interview that Texas Governor Perry did with Sean Hannity, he's telling the president he thinks the problem could be solved if he puts 1,000 National Guard on the border with Mexico. The point of my call tonight is that the United States Constitution gives the states and Congress two ways to bypass the president to do this. Article 1, Section 10, if you look at the last paragraph, it gives the states the ability to act unilaterally without consent of Congress if they're being invaded or under threat of invasion.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at Congress's Section 8 powers, that would be Article 1, Section 8, about halfway through, it says Congress can use the militia, i.e. National Guard, to enforce the laws, prevent against insurrection, and to prevent invasion. So here's two examples. These are powers that, to my knowledge, have never been used, where a governor, who's commander-in-chief of the state National Guard, if you consider this an invasion, he can protect his state and order the state National Guard of Texas, for example, on the border, or Congress can do it under its Section 8 powers in the Constitution directly, in both ways bypass the president.
Well, that's a way to do it, Frosty, isn't it?
Well, it is a way to do it. And what has happened, Article 4, Section 4 of the U.S. Constitution, same thing. We the president and the Congress have a stated oath to protect this country from invasion. But you have to understand that so much of Congress is corrupt, that somebody's making a lot of money, and you've got Marriott hotels, or you've got McDonald's, or you've got Chipotle's, or you've got all these fast food places making just millions, if not billions of dollars, and they don't want, and they are willing to bribe all of these Congress critters. And as you know, most, about 96% of Congress critters get reelected, the incumbents. So you have the same good old boys network. It's too bad we don't have term limits. It should be a max of maybe 12 years. And then get back to being a citizen rather than a career criminal. And as a matter of fact, it was Mark Twain who said, suppose you were an idiot, and suppose you were a member of Congress, but I repeat myself. And so that's what we're dealing with, because clearly the Constitution over the last four or five presidents now, these men in office have not been guarding our borders. Illegal immigration has been going on, and it's making a lot of people rich, and it's costing the American people, and it's gotten so serious now that we've got 48 million Americans subsisting on food stamps. We need to change that. We need to throw these scoundrels out of office. Guys like John McCain is a scoundrel because he has done nothing to defend the U.S. Constitution and the state of Arizona from the massive onslaught of illegal immigration.
The people that live down there in these areas, they've got to be petrified with what's happening.
And they are. I mean, they've been killed. Their ranches are worth nothing. I've been down on the border three times. I've had John Slagle, a 30-year Border Patrol, Terry McCann, another 30-year Border Patrol. I interviewed some of the ranchers down there. I've seen and taken pictures of the trash. There are millions and millions of pieces, pounds of trash left by these people that are coming across the borders. There's a better way of getting transported out of Arizona than the Greyhound bus line. That's how efficient it is for bringing in all these illegals.
We're coming back with more calls, final calls, in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Frosty, we really haven't addressed what's happening in our oceans, our dwindling seafood supply. That is another reason why we have to be careful with the population.
Well, that's correct. You know, a lot of the people that are writing me are really, you know, a little bit upset that I'm bringing out these realities on international radio like this. But most people don't understand that we are creating the extinction of over 100 creatures around the world every day now. They don't realize that we're exhausting so much carbon footprint that we're creating acidity in the oceans. And when you cause the acidity of the oceans, you disrupt the very balance of the ecosystems, and so much so that the reefs are dying. We're killing off over 100 million sharks every year, and that's documented in my book, not only from 25 years ago in Life magazine, but also by Julia Whitty on One Earth. And 100 million sharks being killed off. That's 100 million. I don't know. Does anybody realize?
I can't even think of that as a number.
It's just beyond comprehension. We're burning the rainforest down at such a rate of speed that we're disrupting the very systems that balance the entire planet. And so what I try to do is say, I would rather see our country lead the world in quality of life issues rather than 100-mile traffic jams. I just wrote last weekend here, Denver, Colorado, and I live right next to I-70 in Golden, Colorado. There was a 100-mile-long traffic jam, and people were going 1 mile to 3 miles an hour, and for 9 hours they were stuck in traffic.
Oh, I bet they went nuts.
They were nuts, and I got out over the highway, and I said, how do you feel about overpopulation? And then I had CAPSWEB.org. My wife had that one, and I had the other one, numbersusa.org. We need to change that kind of eventuality by literally not growing the population via mass immigration, or 100-mile traffic jams will be the norm, and the quality of life and the standard of living in our country, as you're sitting there fuming in traffic, you will be fuming up the atmosphere with carbon footprint, creating greater and greater air pollution, which then toxifies your children's lungs, and then the poisons. You know, we now have autism that used to hit 1 in 20,000 live births. It now hits 1 in 110 live births. So as we toxify the air and the land and the water, we're doing damage to our cellular tissue, so much so that there's no way to get around it. And I think every person listening tonight knows someone who has either died of cancer and or has cancer. And in the month of April, I had 4 friends die of cancer. So I'm very much aware of that. We're throwing so many poisons into our air and our water and our land and our oceans that we're really fouling the nest. And to add another 3 billion people around the planet in the next 30 years and another 138 million to the United States, none of that is going to get solved, George. And that's why this is such a dire situation on so many different levels that most people aren't looking at.
Well, let me ask you, those people who do not agree with you, are they saying let all the illegals come and flood the gates and let them in? Is that what they're telling you?
As a matter of fact, yes, they are. And I will send you some of these emails so you can get a handle on this. And what I say to those kinds of people, they don't understand the underlying. You can look at the ocean. I've been a scuba diver around the world for the last 45 years. If you look at a riptide, there's nothing that looks abnormal about it, but if you get caught up in the riptide, you could lose your life. The things that are going on below the surface in our country right now, most Americans can't see, don't look at, and really don't care, as long as they've got their pizza and their NFL football game or their NHL or whatever. I'm looking below the surface. What we're facing is deadly, and we need to discuss it. We need to have top authorities to come in and deal with it. But what is happening is that it's being completely suppressed. It's being ignored. It's being evaded, and it's being avoided by the very people who pretend to really interview people that know what they're talking about. Charlie Rose is afraid of this. Terry Gross, Leanne Hansen,
Let's not knock these other talk show hosts.
I don't want to knock them, but I want to challenge them to start interviewing individuals that have the credentials to bring this population issue to the forefront.
If they've decided, Frosty, that they're not going to touch this subject because it's a hot potato, they're not going to go there. You know?
Well, and I challenge that, George, because it all of us are going to be facing the ramifications of this next 138 million people on our way to 625 million.
I know. Robert in Oklahoma City, welcome to the program. Robert, it's your turn. Go ahead.
Yes. I've been listening to this fellow who predicted all of this stuff 54 years ago, and he is predicting and he is saying that this is being done deliberately by this administration to break the welfare system and create civil chaos. And what they're doing is they're playing psychoanalytical games with people's minds.
This had been going on way before this administration came in.
He is predicting within the next few months that the midterm elections will be called off and that they're going to create a police state by the end of this year, but it can be prevented because they're wanting people to overreact to this. And he said, if we can just keep our cool, we can get over this and then send those people back. But this is being done deliberately, and our administration is in on this.
Well, here's 2 points here. Number one, I have heard that every president never was going to leave office. And they all do. And they all do. And number two, Frosty, how long has this been going on?
This has been going on since 1965 with the Immigration Reform Act. What happened was is we went from about 150,000 to 200,000 immigrants coming into our country every year to 1.2 million and as high as 1.5 million. I think it was Metzenbaum and Kennedy pushed it through, and it literally changed the flow of humanity into our country. And the more you add more people, of course, the corporations love to have all this cheap labor, and that's what happened. And then as this thing evolved into the 70s, into the 80s, Mexican citizens started coming across the borders illegally and working under the table, cash in hand. And this then we didn't enforce the borders like Dwight D. Eisenhower did. And so then we had this massive loading, and now somewhere around 15 to 20 million. We really don't know how many are in this country. And once they found out the good life here, they started bringing in their relatives and so forth. And so the flow has been going on really since the 70s. And in 86, of course, Reagan gave amnesty to 4 million of them, 4.3 million actually. And then the flow really started coming in. And now we are where we are with somewhere between 12 and 20 million illegal aliens in our country.
Yeah, I think if there's a conspiracy here, I'll go back to again the North American alliance of Mexico, the United States, and Canada. And that's what they want, if there's a conspiracy. Next up, let's go to Albuquerque, New Mexico. It's Jonathan's turn. Jonathan, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hello, Mr. Norrie and Mr. Woods.
Hi.
It's nice to meet you on the show. My two questions here is that since all the immigrants are coming from Mexico, what are the few serious important things that the nation needs to do, Mexico, I'm mentioning, that helps their people? And the second question is, even if America manages to stop, like gives their 100% best and trying to stop all the illegals and send them back, will it even be enough? That's the thing. And so that's it.
Okay, well, first and foremost, most are coming from Mexico, not all of them. Some are coming from Central America as well, as Frosty had mentioned. What, if anything, is Mexico doing to upgrade the lifestyle and the living conditions in that country, Frosty?
Well, they aren't doing anything. Actually, the high class stays the high class. The one thing I have discovered in my world travels is that the high class of any country and the leaders of any country that are on top of the pile, no matter how poor the pile is or how fetid it is, they don't really care. And so they literally maintain their status and their power and their money and their mansions while the poor simply suffer and exist. And the same thing is going on with Mexico, and that's not going to change from what I have seen, and I've traveled all over Mexico. The rich stay rich, the poor stay poor, and the more poor there are, and again, they're growing by about a million per year in their own ranks, then those poor will gravitate toward toward America to alleviate their suffering.
So what if we bring all our troops back from all over the planet, and they're everywhere, and station them every half a mile along the borders in groups of 10, could we stop this?
We could stop it within a month, easily.
Yeah.
No question.
Especially with the electronics we have today. You could see anybody coming up to the border.
Yeah, we could stop. We could stop the cartels, the drug cartels. We could stop all illegal immigration coming into this country. As the one caller said, not one North Korean has come across the DMZ in the last 50-odd years. We absolutely could stop this, and we could stop all the drug cartels. But again, the Congress and the president are complicit in this thing continuing for a whole bunch of reasons. Most of them have to do with money.
What about Canada? It's a tough terrain up there. Of course, we're not getting nearly as many people coming across the border there. But I remember during 9/11, there was some concern that terrorists could enter the country through Canada.
And that's true. And again, we are facing the Islamic Jihad kind of aggressiveness, and we're going to see more things happen in our country as we continue to fracture ourselves and as we fragment into these different groups that don't have any affinity toward America, and we're going to see more of that, and we're going to see it on individual and collective situations, and it's not going to be fun for anybody.
You know, the people who support the illegals coming in, God love them for caring about people. I don't think they understand the scope of this and how big it is. I think when you're out of sight, out of mind, Frosty, it's easier to just say things from the heart. And if you don't actually see the hundreds of thousands of people coming across the border, and a lot of them children, you don't get the scope. You don't understand it as much. And I think that's part of the issue here, too. I think you've got a lot of well-intentioned people who care about other people, and they're probably picturing five people coming across the border. Ah, let them in. It's not that, is it?
No, it isn't. And again, we have to understand that 100,000 people come into this country legally every 30 days. And those same people are the ones that keep our citizens from gaining jobs. They're the ones that come in and make sure our citizens stay in the welfare lines. They make sure that our citizens are staying, 48 million of them, are staying on food stamps for their existence.
But they're coming in legally.
And they're coming in legally.
So that I'm okay with that. If the law says let 100,000 in every month, change the law.
Yeah, well, and that's what I am trying to work for, is change that law, because that law is going to give us that 100 extra million immigrants and a total of 138 million, which in the end is unsustainable. So, yes, we need to change the legal immigration rates down to 100,000 per year in order to survive the 21st century as an intact civilization.
Keith is in Houston and now on Coast to Coast. Go ahead, Keith.
Good evening, gentlemen. Yeah, a couple of points I'd like to add. Like you say, Mexico is doing nothing. They, you know, they say our government doesn't do anything until there's a crisis. Well, I believe that, and I believe that other governments and other countries work the same way. But the thing is, it never comes to a crisis there because the disaffected and unhappy peoples are encouraged to migrate up here.
Right.
So nothing ever comes to a head down there where they have to deal with it and change their ways. Secondly, they say America's a land of immigrants. Well, I believe that. But everywhere is a land of immigrants. China, Spain, Russia, Mexico. So that's not a valid argument to use anymore. And I kind of cringe when I hear people saying it.
Okay, thanks for those two points. Frosty, as you look at this, and we have just a few more minutes here to go, what happens next? I mean, if the president gets this $38.7 billion and uses it effectively for detention facilities and, you know, more border patrol and stuff, is that going to do the job?
No, it's not. As a matter of fact, if he gets, I think it was $3.7 billion he's asking for to reestablish all of these children in this country, it's going to create...
Yeah, not $38 billion. I added that times 10.
Yeah, and what's going to happen is it's going to encourage even bigger numbers of illegals to come into this country, and so it will get worse. I predict that Barack Obama has got himself in such a problem situation by giving that amnesty last year that he may find himself at odds with all of the American people Democrats, Republicans, and certainly libertarians and those who are just independents, because in the end, what you're doing is getting out to the edge of a tree branch, and at some point the branch is going to break. Our system is $18 trillion in debt right now. Most of our states are running in debt and having a real hard time. Our school systems are really having a hard time and financially broken. And to add all of these tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of people, we simply are not going to be able to function.
This president can't catch a break, can he?
No, he's in a lot of trouble. I think his next 2.6 years of being in office is going to be very arduous for him.
There have been some people who have speculated that he may resign just to get the Joe Biden that chance to run. Who knows, huh?
You know, I don't know, but I know one thing. We need to get some competent, rational, logical thinking individuals in Congress and to get around the table and say, where are we going and how are we going to get there and what are we going to do to get there in a reasonable fashion? Because if we keep going down this path that we're on, George, it is going to lead us again into another 138 million people.
I agree. It's a mess. The first thing I would do, Frosty, I would stop the illegal immigration immediately. I would do whatever I had to do along the borders to stop it. Then I would try to start developing a plan to help those people out in those countries.
I'm right. I stand with you shoulder to shoulder on this because that is the only way we're going to solve this thing. And you are right on the money, George.
Frosty, America on the Brink. Where do you get the book?
America on the Brink, the next added 100 million Americans. You can go to 1-888-280-7715. It's on Amazon. It's on barnesandnoble.com. And it will really educate you in the last three chapters, show you what to do, the kind of action you can take to collectively empower yourself. I've given you those three websites. There are several more. And the key is to make your voice heard. A constitutional republic is not a spectator sport. You have to get in, you've got to get active, and you've got to speak up. And even if you get names thrown at you, speak up with integrity, because your children are the ones that are going to be the recipients of this massive population load that's simply unsustainable.
All right. Thanks, Frosty. Good luck to you. Up next, we talk about the Merlin Project on Coast to Coast.